The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not a smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge. The judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Some things that are foundational to learning music, there'd be singing or playing an instrument. You have to learn kind of the scales, just how to basically play the notes or sing the notes and to read them on a piece of paper. In Sound of Music, they famously teach it with Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, right? The solfege, that they kind of go through that over and over again. They practice it. She makes it very interesting by making it into a cute little song. But the point is, you have to practice those things over and over and over again, really almost to the point of boredom, before you can actually do the stuff that you want to do as a musician. You can't just pick up a guitar and say, I'm going to play it like a rock band and expect to be able to do it. You have to go through a lot of painstaking, quite literally with the guitar, kind of breaking in your fingers to where they can reach all the different strings, where they can hold them down to the point that it actually makes the sound that you want it to make. In fact, in my experience, that's usually where people get kind of bored or tired of trying to learn a musical instrument. We kind of learn the basics a little bit and we practice them a few times, but it's kind of tedious, it's kind of boring, it doesn't really feel like playing music, and so we stop. But the fulfillment of those scales, the fulfillment of the solfege, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, is singing or playing music beautifully. It's actually being able to use the instrument in a way that brings forth something new or plays something beautiful. But it's actually built on those scales. It's built on the kind of boring, tedious things that we have to practice in order to get there. So a priest that I knew that said he thinks that's what Jesus is referring to when he's saying he didn't abolish the law but came to fulfill it. That in a way, the fulfillment of those simple musical scales is being a master artist, being someone that can beautifully play the piano or the guitar or to sing beautifully. And it's not that it gets rid of those previous things, but it builds on it in a way that actually gives it life. Because nobody grows up hoping to sing beautifully just to be able to sing do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. But they do hope to sing the national anthem. They do hope to sing something beautiful for others. But that fulfillment can't come unless it's built on the basics of music. Similarly, Jesus wants to invite all of us into the fullness of life. And that's built on the law. That's built on the law of the Old Testament is really what Jesus is referring to. When he starts off at the beginning of this passage and he says, I didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. The law and the prophets really to them would mean everything in the Old Testament. Everything that came before Jesus. That he's given the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which we've heard the last couple of weeks. And so people start to think, well, you've come to make something totally new, Jesus. We can throw out all the old stuff and we'll just listen to exactly what you have to say. But Jesus wants to say, there is something new happening with me, with Jesus. But it's not to throw out all the old stuff. Instead, it's actually to see that as a preparation for the life that I want to give my disciples. The life that's meant to give them a fullness of life, to give them Zoe here in this world, but also to give them eternal life in heaven. So how is the law meant to lead us to something new? How is it meant to be fulfilled in our life with Jesus? Well, he gives us several examples of specific laws, specific commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery. Whoever divorces his wife should give her a bill of divorce and don't make a false oath. It's not that Jesus says we shouldn't do or that we can start doing these things now, that the law is thrown out and we can just say, okay, do as much killing or adultery and lying as you want. But instead, he says those are kind of the foundation. That it's not just about not committing physical acts of violence or acting out in lust with others. But actually noticing that those things come from our heart. That we can hold on to a spirit of anger or resentment or rage without actually doing anything to our neighbor. Jesus is saying the fulfillment of the law is, yes, to not kill. It's actually to root out anything in our hearts that could lead to that violence towards others. To root out anything in our heart that would keep us from loving our neighbor as Christ loves them. That is something much different than just throwing out all the law and the prophets. Because what I think Jesus really wants to build on for his disciples is the fact that the law really invaded every part of their life. It's hard for us to really think about because we've maybe read through Deuteronomy or heard some of the laws surrounding the Ten Commandments. We're familiar with them, but I don't know that we realize how omnipresent, how they were present in every single moment of a Jewish person's day. They had to ritually cleanse themselves, usually multiple times a day, especially before eating food. Not just going to wash their hands, but there were always these big buckets of water really at entrances and at places that they would eat, that they would go and perform this ritual to say that anything unclean should not enter them, anything associated with death or die. It affected not only how they ate, but it affected what they ate. And to be careful not to eat anything unclean or to eat in places that would be associated with things that weren't close to the one true God. And so what we kind of miss is that this law was always on the mind of the ancient Jews and the disciples of Jesus. They were always aware that anything they did could kind of get them out of line with God's law. Now, I don't think God wants us to be super scrupulous or to feel like there's always a way that we can mess up. But what he does want us to see is the positive side of that. It's that even in very small daily choices, we can actually do God's will. That in even little, seemingly unimportant things, we can choose to follow the law of God rather than our own law. We can say, Lord, I actually trust you more than myself. I think that's the real fulfillment of the law that Jesus wants to point us towards. Again, not that we are just worried about messing it up or doing something wrong at every single moment, but to say, God, how can I actually act as you would? Growing up seeing the little WWJD bracelets, what would Jesus do? But it's kind of that basic concept that every moment can be a time that we say, how would Jesus act right now? Rather than how do I want to act or what do I think is best? Because when we start to view our daily life in that way, I think God's grace does start to break in to all sorts of areas of our life. It starts to point out that we don't want to just avoid killing and adultery and lying. We actually want to live as Jesus did, to live in his truth and his goodness, no matter what's going on around us. I actually think the season of Lent is designed to help us realize that every day. That much like the law for the ancient Israelites, Lent is meant to kind of make that law break into our daily life. But on Wednesday, when we have Ash Wednesday, a day of fasting and abstinence, it's meant to kind of interrupt us. Right? That when we maybe get ready for lunch or we're thinking about what we're going to eat, we got to go, okay, I can't have meat today. All right, I got to plan something different that I'm going to take in my sack lunch or where I'm going to go to eat or whatever it might be. It's kind of an inconvenience, but to be honest, that's kind of the point. The point is that God's law actually breaks into our normal life to show us that there are many opportunities to choose to follow him and do his will rather than doing what I want. Because as we heard in the responsorial psalm, the ones are blessed that follow the law of the Lord. Not necessarily blessed in good earthly things, not blessed with lots of money or power or physical pleasure, but instead blessed by seeing that God is present in our life on earth, and that he actually wants to lead us toward eternal life in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us pray today that we can have that good foundation in our walk with Christ. That the foundation can be the law and the prophets can be everything we learned in the Old Testament. Not so that we feel like we can always commit sin or there's always opportunities for us to mess up in the eyes of God. But instead to actually look for the opposite. To look for the positive side of God's law and his will. To see that in each moment we can choose to follow him rather than ourselves or our earthly desires. And especially as we enter the desert in the 40 days of Lent, we can allow God's will to break into our lives. Not waiting for him to change something or to change the circumstances around us, but allowing that grace to break into our hearts so that we can be free from the things of the past. Not just following the law and doing the right thing, but living in the fulfillment of God's will. Living in that fulfillment that Jesus shows us. Eager to be obedient to God's holy will. Eagerly seeking to do his will here on earth.